word. Lord, we just come before you today and we thank you for being this great shepherd who's always with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, even in green pastures next to still waters, you are our presence. And we praise you today. And I want to thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, on this property, in your people today. And I pray that in the presence of God this morning that we would find fullness of joy, fullness of peace, fullness of life. And I ask, Lord, that whatever we've brought here again to this place, that, Lord, that would grow strangely dim in light of what you desire to do through the reading of the word. I want to thank you for your word today. I want to thank you that it washes us. Nothing else will wash us spiritually like the word of God. And I pray, God, for a washing today. I want to thank you, Lord, that your scripture restores the heart. So, Lord, or rejoices the heart. So if our hearts are sad today, Lord, we can have confidence in the word that will rejoice the heart. Lord, your word restores the soul. So, Lord, if our soul is hurt, wounded, struggling, we pray that the word of God today would restore it. Lord, your word makes wise the simple. Lord, if we're just simple people, we need your word today. Come, make us wise. A wisdom not with just a knowledge, but, Father, with the action of grace, Lord, behind it. Lord, we thank you for who you are this moment, and we ask, God, that you'd come in a mighty, mighty way, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Luke chapter, actually this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We've been looking at the journeys of Christmas, and we began looking at Zacharias a few weeks ago, whose journey was from unbelief to faith. A man that was given an impossible word, and that impossible word was that his wife would have a baby even in her old age. The seemingly impossible things of life were made possible by God, and the things that we've been hearing over the last couple of weeks and especially the last couple of nights, that there's nothing impossible with God. Matter of fact, we declare, we specified that when the scripture says no word will be impossible with God. That no matter what God says, how impossible as it may seem, that God can do the impossible and will do it. And our response is just to believe. And Zacharias didn't believe, but then there was the impossible word to Mary. You will have a child even as a virgin, knowing no man. And she just believes it. A simple journey of faith. She hears the word, she believes it immediately and says, may it be done according to your word, according to your rhema, your specific word to be. May it be accomplished right now, right here. And guess what? It happens. It takes place. This is what the Christian life is all about. Christian life is not about just getting your ticket punched and going to heaven one day. This gospel, this word, this impossible word is that I will come into your life and I will restore what the enemy has stolen. I will come and remove this life of death, this life of hardship to the spirit and the soul, and I will give you an abundant life. I will conform you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an absolute, utter impossibility apart from the grace of God. And the question is will we believe the impossible words of God, of what God has come to do in our lives to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus? So we've got these difficult words coming. And Mary has been given this word. It's been confirmed through the relationship with Elizabeth. And it's just a powerful, powerful part of the Christmas story and the Christian story. If Zacharias' journey to faith was wild and crazy, and Mary's was quite simple, you have another guy, and his name is Joseph, whose, I want to just say, his journey of faith was difficult and courageous. Difficult and courageous. Notice what Matthew says about Joseph. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away secretly. And when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place, Matthew says, to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, she'll bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What I love about Joseph is that in the midst of a hard thing, in the midst of hard circumstances, something that would not be easy, even after the explanation, would not be easy in Nazareth, would not be easy in their synagogue, would not be easy in their community. I mean, they're looking at a couple who they know something fishy is going on. And they're going to talk. And they're going to gossip. It's not going to be easy. And in the midst of the news, we find that what the scripture says about Joseph is that he, first of all, is a righteous man. He's righteous. And now let me just say what a righteous person does. A righteous person is committed to doing life right. Bottom line. It's a commitment that I have before God that I'm going to live life according to the principles of Scripture, the way that God intended for me to live, and I'm going to walk this righteousness out in my life. I'm going to do the right thing. And that's what a righteous man is, a righteous woman. They will do life right. And I think this is what is so important about verse 19. Joseph, watch this, her husband, okay, what does that mean? Well, let me just stop for a minute and just say, betrothal in Scripture is a whole lot different than engagement. When you get betrothed, there's something legally that takes place. The families have come together. They've brought their daughter, their son together. And I'm just telling you, it is not an engagement. It is a betrothal. And there's a commitment and there's a legality to it. A covenant has been made. And what happens is when that happens, it takes about a year where the man goes to his father's house and prepares a place for his bride. And then will come maybe about a year later to get her. And that's where they consummate, that's when they consummate and celebrate the wedding and celebrate the marriage. They've already made the commitment. When he hears it, the Bible says, her husband. There's something about this oneness that's already taken place, because the Bible says that being a righteous man and wanting to do things right, he did not want to disgrace her. So he decided to put her away secretly. Let me translate that. He decided to divorce her quietly and secretly. This is what he's considering. I mean, what else would he think? What else would he do? I mean, here's a guy that's righteous in Christ. And let me say this about righteousness. Not only are righteous men and women righteous in the sense that they desire to live life right, the most important thing is they believe the promises of God. In Scripture, you can't be called a righteous person unless you believe God. It's the only way to righteousness. It's not by your good works. It's not by what you say. It's by what you believe. Matter of fact, when you look at scripture about righteousness and about people living life right, notice just a couple of verses on the screen in your notes. Notice we talked about this 2 weeks ago, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke 1:6. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. Look what he says about Noah in Genesis 6:9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah, watch this, Noah walked with God. He walked with God. This righteousness based on faith is not just an intellectual assent to the things that God says. No, it is a powerful movement toward God in which I get to walk this out with God, in relationship with God. It's not separate. My obedience is not separate from my faith. It's not that my obedience saves me. My faith saves me unto this walking with God, this new kind of lifestyle. The Bible says that Job, in Job 1:1, says of him, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Let me just say this. These people were not righteous because they lived life right. They lived life right because they were righteous by faith. Let's look at it. These folks weren't righteous because they lived life right. They lived life right because they were righteous by faith. And the Bible says this. He says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. And actually, literally, it's this. He who is righteous by faith shall live. Literally. He who is righteous by faith, not by works, not by living life right, but by faith in the awesome, impossible promises of God. And when you see this man called righteous and in the context going to do life right, I mean, it's the only thing he understands what to do as a Jew. He doesn't want to disgrace her. He's going to send her away secretly. I mean, you can go through scripture and look at scripture after scripture after scripture that faith never stands just alone. You're saved by faith alone, but it's not faith alone. It's faith that produces the character of Christ, the character of Jesus. And this is how we find the assurance of our salvation. It's not because we prayed a prayer one day. It's because we prayed a prayer and received Christ, and our life has fruit coming forth from it. And there's growth. Now, some of us are a little slower than others, but there's growth, and there's conviction, and there's this conscience of who God is and what God desires in my life. And that's so important, folks. We can't miss the righteousness of faith and the obedience of faith. They go hand in hand. They're very, very important. And so this righteous man, he's committed to doing life right. And he's not righteous because he does life right. No, he's righteous by faith. And because he's righteous by faith, he's going to do the right thing at the right time. You know, I think about the whole thought process of Joseph. Matter of fact, Faces of Christmas in that scene tonight, It'll talk about the humanness of Joseph and talk about just what he might have been thinking and going through. I mean, we know he's considering to divorce her, to put her away. We know that. We know that he's considering to do it secretly. We know that he's righteous. But oh, can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine the hurt? Can you imagine the wondering? Can you imagine the confusion? This woman that is also righteous is pregnant, and he decides to put her away secretly. But she's not pregnant by another man. She's pregnant by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit with God's Son. And I think there's something here that I think is important. In life, not everything is as it appears, especially in the supernatural. And we've got to be careful of how we think about other people's lives. We just do. Because in the supernatural, not everything is as it appears. And so when we get to Joseph, he needs something. What does he need? He needs a word. You know, Zacharias and Mary get an angel, and the angel comes to them in their waking hours. But Joseph gets an angel in his sleep, and the angel tells him to do two things. He tells him to, first of all, marry, okay? That's Mary, M-A-R-R. Let me do it in New Orleans. Mary, okay? That's how we say it in New Orleans. Mary, okay? Mary, okay? Battenfields, y'all got that down, right? Okay. Mary. Do not be afraid. You've got to be courageous, man. You've got to be a man in this. And you've got to do the right thing. And this is the right thing. The right thing is not to put her away. The right thing is to believe what I'm telling you. And I'm sharing with you. This woman is still righteous. She has no reason to be disgraced. She is with child still in her virginity. And you're going to have to do the right thing. You want to do the right thing? This is the right thing. Marry. Take her as your wife. Yeah, it has to be courageous. It's a courageous, difficult walk sometimes in the Christian life. You know, I'm reading a book. And it's called Play the Man. And it's based in the scripture, on a passage of scripture in Samuel, where David is gathering some troops. And he says it, and it's in the King James Version, by the way. Listen, we've got to play the man. There's a story of Polycarp, who was discipled by John, and it's a story in this book from history, not the word, when he was martyred. And he's brought into one of the Colosseums, if not the Colosseum of Rome. And there, the crowd is wanting him, they're wanting to kill him by beast, let the lions loose, and that's what they're screaming and that's what they're yelling, and they decide they're going to set him on fire. And they put him on the stake or the pole, and they're getting ready to nail his hands in. And he says, I'm going to tell you this, the grace of God that has allowed me up until this moment will still be upon me so that I can withstand these flames without your nails. History tells us, there's the historical story that as the flames are about to engulf him, that he hears a voice from heaven that is audible. And the voice says this, play the man. Be the man. Walk through this with courage. History tells us that the flame was set. And they begged him to recount and to recant and to deny the Christ. They say, Polycarp has refused to deny the Christ. And so they put him on he's on that stake. They light that fire, and miraculously, the fire does not consume him. Part of the story is that a fragrance, something like frankincense, fills the Colosseum. You know what that is? It is the aroma of a pleased God receiving a pleased sacrifice. And so they do. They get a spear, and they spear him through and kill him. Watch this. For the glory of God. And they don't even know it. Play the man. Joseph Joseph, this is going to be something that's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. People are going to talk. People are going to accuse. You're going to have to play the man. You're going to have to be the man here. And you're going to have to man up and do this. This is a courageous walk. This is courageous walk. And it's not just for men. It's for women too. It's for all of us. That we're going to believe the promise of God and we're going to walk in what God asks us to do. And what he asks us to do is do not divorce your wife. You marry her. Marry her. Because her assignment or your assignment is just as important as her assignment. Got an assignment here for you. And I want you just to know this. You marry her and you take her as your wife. And so then he says the second thing. Name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. So watch. She's going to, Joseph, son of David, be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived is in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. And watch, you will call his name Jesus. You will name him. And watch, he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She'll bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus, the most significant name that can be given to the Messiah. The word Jesus is in the Greek is to the name that corresponds to the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua comes from two words. The first is Yahweh. The second part is from a primary root word that means to open wide, to make free, to deliver, to save, or to get the victory. And literally it means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh delivers. Name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. Everyone in this community, everyone that hears his name will know what his name means. It means Yahweh saves. Yahweh delivers. This is what our great God promises. Even when you think it's so impossible for him to deliver and to save. Yes, this is who he is. This is what he does. And when he does it to you, this is who you become. You become a delivered, saved child of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus. That's why we believe his name. He saves. He delivers. And what he says is listen, this is prophetic. And you read it in the prophet. This virgin shall be with child, she'll bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I would tell you this. The presence of God is just so important. Amen. It's so important that God comes into your life in the third person called the Holy Spirit. That's why the presence of God is so important from heaven. God comes to invade your life. Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us to do what? To deliver us, to save us, and to be with us forever. This is what this name means. And let me tell you this. It needs to be the characteristic of your life. The name of Jesus. That's who we are in Christ. This is who we are. We are free men and women in Christ. Free, yes, from the law, free under grace, but free by grace. To do what? To see the victory of Jesus wrought out in our lives that affects every area of our life, whether it is our marriage, whether it is our children, our family, our church, in our personal habits, in every area of life. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, to deliver us, to save us. And I want to tell you, get back to this thought. That can seem so impossible to so many of us because we've struggled with the same thing over and over and over in our lives. You mean to tell me that this God promises to come into my life and deliver me from that junk, from that anger, from that bitterness, from that lust, from that guilt, from that shame? You mean to tell me that God with us to deliver me, that God with me to deliver me means that I can walk in peace and not chaos? That I can walk in peace and not fear and worry and anxiety? Yes! Yes! It's the good news. That's why it's good news, because he's with you to deliver you. And some of us in this place have walked in our hurt, in our wounds, in our guilt, in our shame, in our bondage way too long, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, Jesus, is living in our lives. And this is what he's saying to Joseph. Let me tell you who you got. You got Emmanuel, Jesus. You got Jesus Emmanuel, the Savior who saves you, the God who is with you. It's an awesome promise. A promise to Joseph, but listen, a promise, let me do it like Bob does it, to you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you come tonight. And you too. Yeah. Right. Amen. It's the promise of God that I can be the man God's called me to be, the woman that God's called you to be, the son that God's called me to be, the dad, the husband, the mama, the wife that God's called me to be, righteous by faith. Who does life right. Why? Because Emmanuel Jesus lives in me. You know, this freedom is so breathtaking to me that it's all over Scripture. Zacharias spoke of it in Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1 for just a moment and notice what he says when he finally gets his voice back. And they finally name him John and not Zacharias. And the first thing he does when he opens his mouth is the Holy Spirit speaks out. Listen, the Holy Spirit speaks out of his heart. And it's amazing that we have it on paper. Notice what he says in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us, watch, and has accomplished redemption for his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation, of deliverance in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from old. Watch, salvation, deliverance from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Notice, redemption, the rescue, the salvation. It's all there. And he understands it. He speaks it by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus does. And when Jesus does it, this is who you become. You become saved, delivered by the hand of God. What does this look like? Let go of Luke chapter 1 and go to Psalm 40, just really quickly. Psalm 40. This is what it looks like. When he comes to deliver you from your sins, from the darkness, from evil and perverse people, from every evil deed, from every temptation, and when he comes to deliver you from the evil one himself, from strongholds, and yes, again, guilt, shame, failure. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He climbed to me and heard my cry, and he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, that rock's Jesus, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. To me, that's salvation. To me, that's Jesus. I'm in the pit of destruction, and I'm only in the pit of destruction because of my actions of sinfulness and sinful habits, separated from God. And through Jesus, God reaches into the pit and pulls me out and puts me on Jesus, the rock. And I got a new walk. It's a walk with God, and I got a new song, and it's all about God and who he is in what he's done in my life. This courageous man hears the word of God. God tells him to do two things: marry Mary and then name him Jesus. And the Bible says, if you're back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Listen, Joseph goes to sleep one night, moving in one direction toward Mary, and then God meets him, and it's all of a sudden a new direction. You know what he does? I love this. He gets up and does what God asks him to do. Listen, what he does immediately and he does it completely. Immediate obedience, complete obedience. He doesn't fudge. He doesn't go halfway. He doesn't go 99% of the way. No, he goes 100% of the way. Listen, this is the power of God for you and me to do the same kind of things, that when God prompts us and asks us to do the things that he's asking us to do, that we don't hesitate. We do it immediately and we do it completely. Some of you who have little kids, don't you expect them to do it immediately and completely? Come on, think about that. Is partial obedience obedience? No, it's disobedience. And the quicker we do it, the quicker the freedom, right? I think about things that we know God asks us to do. And we walk it out for weeks and months not doing it. And then finally we do it and we go, I've just wasted a month. I've just wasted a week. I just wasted an hour. I just wasted a year. I just wasted my life. Not doing what God's asked me to do. If you're new to us, this is new. If you're not, this is not. This is old. What's the last thing God asks you to do that you've not done? Get up from this place by the grace of God and do it immediately and completely. And watch God work. Was it still difficult? Yes, it was still difficult. Was it still hard? Yes, it was still hard. Was it difficult for them in the community? Yeah, that's probably why they stayed in Bethlehem. Difficult. But what I love about Joseph, he always does what God asks him to do, and he does it immediately and completely. You know, I just kind of in a closing here, I want you to see that for just a moment. Go to chapter 2, verse 13 of Matthew. Chapter 2, verse 13 of Matthew. And notice after the Magi leave, right? They go a different way. They're warned by God. Herod wants to kill the baby. And so look at verse 13. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Completely and immediately. Amen? Hey, listen to me. It's the only way to live. You want to stay miserable in your sin? Don't live this way. You want to still keep, can you have burden after burden after burden? Just don't do what God asked you to do. And you'll still have the same burden a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, a decade from now. And it won't be any easier. Just get up and do it completely. Do it immediately. And do it by the faith and the righteousness of God. Look at verse 19. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Immediate, complete response to God. I'm not saying it's easy. It can be so difficult. But if God's asked you to do it, He's equipped you to do it. And He's empowered you to do it. And listen, you can do it immediately and completely. And that's my prayer for us. A difficult journey, a hard journey, but a courageous. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be the man, be the woman, be the son, be the daughter that God's called us to be. And guess what? When we're doing that, we'll be the church God's asked us to be. And we'll do everything God asks us to do. I believe that about you. I believe that about you. Most everyone in this place, I've spent some kind of time with you. And I just believe it. I believe you have what it takes to walk in the courage of Joseph, to do what God asks you to do immediately and completely. And I ask the question again, what is it that God's asked you to do that you've not done immediately and completely? What have you fudged on lately? You know, I bet you it didn't take a whole lot of time if there's something that you've not done that God's asked you to do for it to come into your mind, to your heart. Some of you taking notes, write it down. God, by the power and the grace of God, I'm going to go run and do what I need to do. I'm going to go. I'm going to go do. I'm going to confess. I'm going to confess you as Lord. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to give generously. I'm going to teach that class. I'm going to go work with those students. I'm going to get connected with the body. I'm going to allow you to work in my life to get rid of that habit once and for all. I'm going to go get that stuff out of our house. I'm going to go follow you. I'm going to quit worrying about money. I'm going to quit worrying about my kids' safety. I'm going to go love my wife. I'm going to go love my husband. I'm going to go find a marriage. I'm going to go find our lives in such a way that our marriage is fulfilling. I'm going to head to that full-time service that you called me to as a child that I've been running all my life from. I'm going to head to foreign soil because that's what you told me to do. I'm going to give you my life, my entire life. I'm going to get things right with my mother, my father, my uncle, my pastor, my church, my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter, my best friend forever. I'm going to go make it right as best as I can. I'm going to get in your word daily. I'm going to be daily in prayer. And I'm always going to say yes to you. And I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to find my greatest peace. And I'm going to share this giftedness and this Jesus in my life with everyone you call me to. God, by your power, not by my strength, not by our strength, but by your power and grace, I will run courageously to do what you've asked me to do. Why? Because I want to live life right. And I believe. And that's where righteousness comes from. Be courageous and do what God's asked us to do. I want you to stand right now, and I want you to go to the Lord in prayer. Righteous men and women live life right. That's their aim. And they're righteous by faith. If you want to do the right thing, make sure you're believing the right thing. And that's in this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's come to fulfill His word in you. And then out of that, to hear the voice of God, to go run to what God's ask you to do. Will you make that commitment today? Will you make it in the name of Jesus? Right? That's all I have for you, except a blessing. I want you to come back tonight, be a part. Hey, if you've already come and seen it and you want to just come and and greet people and love on people, come on back and be a part of that. I hope we see tonight. Well, let's do a blessing, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you peace right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. May he guard your going out and your coming in. May he bless your conversation from this place. May he bless your life. May he protect you. May he hedge you in all that you do and all that you have. I pray these things and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.